We have a little journey to take today. Turn to Zechariah chapter 4. As you know, at the turn of this year, the Lord did something very interesting in adding the element and the revelation of dunamis power and how it correlates, how it operates with faith, how it operates with the Word, and how the Holy Spirit, those three, dunamis power, the Word, and Holy Spirit, the three measures, and how faith, the leaven of faith, is injected, and it causes the expansion of those measures. And we found out, God, these same components, ingredients, if you will, were employed in the original creation of light. And once the Lord broke that revelation, He opened up this chapter. And this particular chapter is now unfolding. And today we're going to look at a couple of aspects, what we call the golden lampstand. Now, I'm going to prove today that this chapter is actually a prophetic mandate, a prophetic mantle that belongs to the end time church, and it's going to be opened, and it's going to be revealed, and it's going to be released in every nation of the earth. And by the end of this service, we're going to prove that. So let's read with this. In verse 1, it said, "The angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that wakened out of his sleep and said to me, 'What seest thou?' And he said, 'I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl on the top of it.'" Now, this is a little bit different than the one in the tabernacle. "And seven lamps therein, seven pipes of the seven lamps, and the two olive trees, one upon the right side, one upon the left side. And I answered and talked to them, saying, 'What are these, my Lord?' So you have this lampstand with the seven pipes. You have a bowl and you have two olive trees." He said, "What are these?" And he said, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel." And that word, and the first thing he says about this is one of the major operations of the lampstand. I've identified 10 operations of this lampstand. We're going to look at a couple of them today in great detail. Well, the first operation, he says, "The word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, 'Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit.'" What you're looking at cannot be accomplished by the might, the sufficiency, the power of man. It's going to be accomplished by my spirit. But the effectiveness of this is going to be released in every nation of the earth. Whatever's in there is going to come out. Hallelujah. And notice what else he said. He said, verse 10, "For who hath despised the day of small beginnings? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven." This is what I'm going to talk to you about today. Seven. "They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth." Say, "The eyes of the Lord." We're going to look at the eyes of the Lord. What are those eyes? It's amazing. The revelation of this lampstand is in the book of Revelation, because that's in the last days where we are when this thing's going to come into its fullness. This particular lampstand has two olive trees. It has the kingly tree and the priestly tree. Apostolic priestry, like the apostolic high priest of our confession, the Lord Jesus. Both of these trees are extensions of the Lord's mantle. He's a king, and the oil that flows through him is kingly oil. He's also an apostolic priest, and the oil that flows through him is priestly oil. This oil gets mixed into a bowl. This oil is called creative dunamis power. We've looked into this already. And when that gets mixed in this bowl, something remarkable happens. These operations begin to forge into form. Amen. And so he looked at this and he said, "This word of the Lord is Zerubbabel, saying, 'Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit.'" There's so many operations of seven in this lampstand. It's just amazing. He said, "But it's by my spirit, not by might, not by power." So it's a seventh day operation. I said this the other day. God got up, created the world, and then he sat down. Then he gets back up, redeems the world, then he sat back down. You had a word the other day that he's going to get back up again in this last hour. In fact, Rick Joyner saw the Lord stand up in heaven. I just reminded that. And they said he will not sit back down until his second coming. He's going to stand back up again in this last hour. A seventh day operation. But today we're going to look at the seven eyes of the Lord, which are the seven spirits of God. Turn over, if you would, to Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. Right now, there's about 10 operations in this lampstand. I can't get in them today. It's multi-level. It's multi-operation. And it all has to do with seven. Say seven. God's perfection. It's such a perfect picture of what I would term the apostolic king priest government. Because you have the oil from the olive trees. You have the seven eyes of the Lord. You have the word of the Lord. We've been talking about this. In fact, that was what was used in the original creation of light. Remember? Holy Spirit brooding over the face of the waters. The word of God said, let there be light. And the invisible things from the creation of the world were clearly seen. Of those things that were made, even his eternal dunamis power. It was an invisible substance, but it was employed in the creation of light itself. What was the first manifestation? Let there, what? Be light. And it's the same components that's going to light this last day candlestick. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. I beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne, say in the midst of the throne, and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. You know, the horns of Revelation spoke of kingdoms and kings. Well, he had seven of them. That spoke of his king anointing, but he had seven eyes operating with him. These are the same seven eyes that were referenced in Zechariah chapter 4, and it's what Zerubbabel built with, and it's what was the composition of that lampstand. And notice what he says what these seven eyes are. He says, these seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, say the seven eyes are the seven spirits of God, and they go into all the earth, just like he said in Zechariah 4. So it was a global vision that encompassed the seven continents of the earth. Because these seven eyes went into all the earth. They were the seven spirits of God. Now Isaiah tells us, Isaiah 11 says, the Spirit of the Lord speaking, there'll be a root come out of Jesse and the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. And there's seven spirits that rest upon him. The Spirit of the Lord is a spirit of glory, spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Those seven spirits were resting upon him, which are the seven spirits of God, which is the encompassing operation of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's going to be very interesting. We're going to take a little journey and look at the operation, the seven spirits of God under Elisha and Elijah today. Then we're going to come back to Revelation. I'm going to show you there's a clear distinction that God's going to release a brand new mantle in the last days. He specifically declares he's going to release it. And it's specifically declared that it was designed and created by God for the last days. With that said, go to 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha, remember the scripture said that the Lord's going to send Elijah in the last days. The spirit of Elijah would come in the notable day of the Lord. He's going to send these operations again into the earth. 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 8. It's very interesting because Elijah got his mantle from Elijah. Both of them operated in a very powerful place concerning the seven spirits of God and the seven eyes of the Lord. And we're going to look into it, how it related to them, because they were foreshadowing in their operation what is to come. Amen. Verse 8 said, then the king of Syria warred against Israel, and he took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. He's at war with Israel, and he's making his plans with his counsel. And he said, okay, this is where we're going to strike. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that you pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. Now God's giving Elisha very detailed information on kingdom business. These are kings going against kings. Elisha calls the king of Israel and said, look, you beware that you don't go over here, because that's where the king is making war. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once, not twice, but what? Many times. Now this frustrated the king of Syria, and he called all his people together and said, now, who is telling my secrets? Because every time I get ready to do something, the king of Israel is right there. He avoids everything I do. He said, it's nobody in our group, but there is a man in the land that's hearing the counsels that go on in your bedroom. Where is that anointing? Staying one step ahead of worldly rulers, plotting the destruction of mankind, thwarting their destruction. Notice what he said. And he's one of his servants, verse 12, said, none, my king, but it's Elijah. Called him by name. The prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber. I don't know if your mind thinks like mine. I didn't want to just know that he heard that. I want to know how he heard that. I mean, did he see it? Did he hear it? I want to know what made that operation work. Because every one of us is... have operated in the prophetic, but this man was operated at a very high level. In fact, you go on to read that, king of Syria, he got upset and he sent an army. And it's surrounded and encompassed Dothan about. And that army encompassed about, the servant of Elisha woke up. He said, my Lord, there's an army encompassing us. And Elisha, I don't even know if he woke up yet. He said, oh, don't worry about it. Got it covered. And notice what he did, because he was already operating in the power of light. Notice what he did. He said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. You know, there'd be a lot of answer to our problems if we could see like this. And when the servant's eyes opened, he saw the armies of the Lord surrounding the chariots of fire. All around. And Elisha walks up to that entire army. Nobody's ever done anything like this. Dismantled an entire army without any bloodshed, without anybody dying. And what did he say? He said, Father, strike these, smite them with blindness. He had the power of light, he had the power to take light away. That was what's on him. It's part of the operations of the light. When you're operating in light, there's omnipotence in this light. There's omniscience in this light. And there's another operation, omnipresence in this light. This was the omnipotence of light. Smite them! And they're walking around like dumb men. He said, hey, the man you're looking for, he's the man they're looking for. They're not here, but come over here. I'll show you where they are. And he leads that entire army over to Samaria, right into the hands of the king of Israel. The king of Israel, oh yeah, I'd like to have your enemy delivered right to your doorstep. Then what he said, now, Father, open their eyes again. Power, omnipotence, neutralized an entire army. One man's anointing, one operation. Neutralized. He said, you're not going to do anything to them today. The king of Israel, he wanted to smite them. He said, are you going to smite your prisoners that have surrendered? He goes, you feed them and let them go. Imagine if we had somebody like that in this last uproar in the cities, when there's turmoil in the cities over the police shootings and things like that. I don't know if you saw some of the news, but they were whole crowds walking down the streets, upwards of 1,000 people chanting, kill police, kill police, kill police. I don't know if you saw that. There was a lot of anger there being infused by the spirit of violence, being infused by demonic stuff. Imagine if there was somebody there just could quench that out. And send them home with bread and water. Send them home well fed, but quench the violence of an entire city. That's what God has in store for us. The ultimate clash of light and darkness in the last days. But I wanted to know, how did Elisha see that? Some see, some hear, some perceive, some feel. I don't know about you. I'm tired of being a feeler. I want to shift to being a seer. How many of you are feelers in here? Raise your hand. How many of you are seers? Raise your hand. The seers want to be feelers and the feelers want to be seers. You get sensitive. He gives us a little bit of light on this in a particular situation that preceded this chapter. So turn over there to chapter 5. The operation, I want you to see what I call the omnipresence. The operation of omnipresence. One of the operations of the seven spirits of God that's resting upon us. 2 Kings chapter 5. One of the operations is the Holy Spirit, being the seven spirits of God. He manifests himself in the seven eyes of the Lord. He manifests himself in the seven spirits of God. He manifests himself in a state of omniscience, all-knowing, omnipresence, and omnipotence. We just saw the whole operation of omnipotence. That's the Holy Spirit resting. We don't look at the omnipresent side of this. Because not only this happened to them, it happened in the New Testament too. And it's a definite operation of come. Was coming. The omnipresence is what's going to give us a tremendous, tremendous, and some are already operating that. But I believe God's going to bring this thing to fullness. Say, fullness. I'm going to pick it up about midway through. This is when the leper came and saw Elisha, Naaman the leper. And of course, Elisha told him he'd go wash in the Jordan. It must have been a pretty dirty part of it. And he didn't take kindly to that. It insulted him. He goes, well, give me a clean river to wash in. At least. He said, wash 7 times. And his servant had to beg him to go and wash. And he did it. All of a sudden, his attitude changed. It's amazing. You get healed of leprosy, you're going to change your attitude. Soon as he got healed, he brought 10 talents of silver. That's 10 times 75, 750 pounds of silver. Say 750 pounds. He brought it on a train of mules. He brought, he's going to give it all. And when he gets healed, Elisha said, no, not today. You know, there's a time to prosper in the anointing. There's a time to bear testimony. Because he goes, I want this man to know there's a prophet. Because he was the general of the armies. He goes, I want him to know and all Assyria to know that the God that we serve is our God. And he goes, there's a time, because preceding that chapter, he multiplied the oil of that widow woman. He says, now take all that oil and sell it. That anointing was directly used to prosper and to pay her and remove her from debt. That oil was flowing. Call that dunamis. Say dunamis. So Naaman said, not today. But he had a servant called Gehazi. And he saw that silver. A talent of silver, 75 pounds. So he runs over. Yeah, he kind of like a Judas. He runs over to Naaman on his way out of the city. Naaman wanting to give it all away anyway. Now notice what happens. We'll pick it up right there. Verse 22, 2 Kings chapter 5. Because he's going to give you a major key right now of how Elisha could sit in the intimate chambers of worldly kings and know everything they're doing. And he said, all is well. He said, my master sent me. So Gehazi said, after all, Elisha has sent me. After all, there are a couple of prophets came in and he needs the money after all. He said he didn't, but now he does. So first thing he starts is lying. Doesn't he know who he was serving under? I mean, how dumb can you get and still breathe? He says, behold, even now there become from Mount Ephraim, 2 young men, the sons of the prophets. And he's asking you now, after all, to give him a talent of silver. And Naaman goes, man, take 2 talents. I'll give it all to you. He brought 10 with him. He said, be content, take 2. That's 150 pounds. The Bible says he loaded 1 in a sack and laid it on the shoulders of, and see, Gehazi, he brought 2 servants with him. So he loads both of them up. He takes them home. He don't even share it with his servants. They drop off the silver and said, now go hide it. They drop it off. He said, see ya. And then he goes and hides it. This is where trouble starts. Then he walks right back up into the house where Elisha's at. And Elisha said, ho! Hey! Ho! Start the show! And he went in, verse 25, before his master. And Elisha said to him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? Where have you been? Adam, where are you? He said, thy servant went nowhere. Now he's lying again. You're going to sit up and lie in front of a man with that kind of anointing? In verse 25, listen to this very powerful verse. And he said unto him, went not my heart with you? Now that's really not the right translation. Most of you are going to, if you have a King James, that's not the right translation, but the Amplified has the definite right translation. He says, did not my spirit go with you? Say, did not my spirit go with you? Did not my spirit go with you? That right there was the key to the mantle, the 7 spirits of God that rested upon him. The Holy Spirit's omnipresence brought Elisha's spirit under the influence of his omnipresence. And while Elisha would sit in his prophet's chamber or whatever that was, Holy Spirit would bring his spirit under his influence and calls him to partake. Say, partake of the Holy Spirit's omnipresence. And his spirit went with him and he was there when it happened. He said, you are lying to the wrong guy. I didn't just see it. I was there. I saw it. Say, I saw it. I didn't just see it. I saw it. That is an operation. Now, I know some of you have probably already experienced that maybe sometime in your life you walk with God long enough. Some of you. But God is going to bring his people and the corporate remnant body in this last hour under that type of operation where you're going to be exposed because your spirit under the influence of the Holy Spirit is not limited to the body it's confined in. Sometimes you can see, sometimes you can hear. But in that one, sometimes you'll just be there. Sitting up into the chambers of kings. Listening to everything they're saying. Sitting up into the chambers of the pharaohs of the earth. Listening to everything they're planning. Watching. Knowing. Understanding, sitting right in the middle of the enemy's designs and hearing everything he's doing before he does. How'd you like to be 3 steps in front of him instead of getting leveled by him as I came in on another assignment? How'd you like to see it before it happened? That's what the Lord did. He saw it before it happened. Never once could you surprise him. He said, are there not 12 hours a day in your day? He goes, I walk by the light. I walk by a light that's not of this world, but he that followeth me, you don't have to walk in darkness, so I'll give him my light. There is also a lamp that is reserved for the last days. I actually believe that God reserved it. I'm going to prove it to you in a minute. I believe God reserved this lamp because he knew it would be the darkest time in human history. Arise, shine thy light, is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Gross darkness. But there is a light that's going to rise and an operation thereof that you're not going to have to stumble. That you're going to be in front of whether you're a king. And you know, wonderful thing about this little lamp we're talking about, this big lamp we're talking about. It's not just a priestly lamp. It's a kingly lamp too. Elijah could look into the kings. He could look in to the peoples. It had no limitations. It could be in the marketplace one day and be in the ministry the next day. Because it had kingly oil coming down in it, and it had apostolic priestly oil coming in it. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Those oils get mixed in the bowl. When that light comes on, it causes an operation of the seven spirits of God that'll cause even all the spirit to transcend. Gravity and the confinement of your flesh, and he'll put your spirit under the influence of his omnipresence and cause you to be right where you need to be. So when you walk in somewhere, you're in a state of all-knowing. Don't think that's available. It is. It's in the New Testament. It's in the full gospel. Say, full gospel. Booyah. Did not my spirit go with you? Oh, I love it. Did not my spirit, was I not with you when it happened? My spirit was there. And your spirit, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, by the way, the more you're under the influence of the Spirit of Truth, the more pure that type of encounter will be. You're being in an atmosphere under the influence of the Holy Spirit, under the seven spirits of God, where you're being fed counsel and wisdom and insight and knowledge and understanding. And if so be might, when Elisha was under the spirit of might, he said, smite him with blindness. Paul did the same thing when that sorcerer challenged him. He was trying to minister to the deputy. That sorcerer kept challenging me. He said, oh, thou full of all subtlety. Pow! Apostolic. Seven spirits of God operating again. Would they pull up the Christians on the talk shows? All they do is make fun of them. Boy, I just can't wait till they pull up an apostle. He just sits there and listens to them. And when he has enough, he starts demonstrating right in front of the whole world that talk show host walking around blind. Who turned the lights out? Who turned the lights out? And then you say, point that camera right on me and I'm going to tell you who the living God is. Talking about going viral. Ah! I don't have anybody want to interview any again. They did. They'd be interview you with fear and trembling. Go over to Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read Colossians 2. You go to 1 Corinthians 5 while I go to Colossians 2. Colossians 2 and 5 says, for though I be Paul, say be absent in flesh, I am with you, say with you, in spirit, joying and beholding your order. He's watching the whole thing just like Elisha's spirit went. With Gehazi, Paul was there, out there, beholding and joying in the order. He could see everything's going on. Paul spent a lot of his time in a prison cell. The enemy locked him up, but could not restrain his spirit. That's a different operation of the prophetic. It's a lampstand operation of the seven spirits of God. It's pulling that apostolic mantle under the influence of the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit and setting him in the church and then downloading the whole church to him. Man, you start operating like that, we can get some things done quickly. Was I not there with you? Joying and beholding your order. He was happy about that one. Corinthians is a different story. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Colossians, they were in good shape. Corinthians was not in good shape. He was there judging a matter in spirit, though he was not there. He was judging a matter. Incestual fornication. These are the people who got the gifts, by the way, and the operations of God. They had division in chapter 3, fornication in chapter 5, chapter 6, suing each other at the law, idolatry in chapter 9, division at the communion table in chapter 11. And by the time they get to chapter 12 with all the gifts and ministrations, it's severally as the Holy Spirit wills. It's not the kind of anointing without measure. Holy Spirit says, look, I got to use somebody. So I'm going to take you as a carnal church with all your carnality. And I am going to, 1 Corinthians says, we know in part, we operate in part. But when we grow up into the love of God, the part gets taken off of us. The measure. So the Holy Spirit was measuring their anointing because they're too carnal to operate in the anointing without measure. So he measured it out to them. How many of you ever felt a measure and you want to get past your measure? You want fullness. You're trying to break the measure into fullness. Because the measure come upon you by grace, but fullness comes by your development and your maturity. Talking to somebody. I don't like being in measure no more than you do. Now, there are some people that know how to look better in measure. Sound better in measure. They compensate their measure. They know how to shine better. And then some people are just miserable in their measure. Some people know how to hide their measure. Some people don't know how to nothing. But Paul, God had an apostle looking into a measured church, one that was operating without measure, sitting up in a prison cell. But he could see everything they're doing. Judging everything. Chapter 5. Part of the operation of the seven spirits of God. That's why this fullness won't come like this until we get mature. Because you're given the power to judge. Because by the way, Elisha told Gehazi, the leprosy that was on Naaman's going to be upon you and all your generations for what you just did. He walked out of there white as snow like a leper. Paul was given the power to judge in a church he wasn't even present in. His spirit was giving powers under the influence of the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit. Not only he was there looking at it, he was given power to judge the situation. How'd you like to be given power to judge mammon in this hour? Being present. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 3. For verily, he goes, because he talked about there fornication, incestual fornication in the church. Paul said, I'm watching the whole thing. I'm not there, but I'm watching it. He said, verily, I'll be absent in body. Just like Elisha, did my spirit not go with you? He's under the influence of the Holy Spirit, under the omnipresence. He said, but I'm present. Say present. He's not looking at it. He's present in spirit. And he goes, I've judged it already. He was given authority to judge a situation in a place he wasn't even at. God's going to give this kind of authority again in this last hour by way of this lampstand to judge and decree justice. And sometimes we're not even going to have to be present in body, but we'll be absolutely. It's one thing to intercede. It's another thing to be sitting in the middle of the situation, hearing, discerning, understanding, and judging that situation properly with God's justice. That's what he did. He goes, I've judged this already in spirit. I was with you. I already know what's going on. I've already judged this. Know what he said? He goes, I've judged it already as though I were present in my body concerning him that has done this deed. Now notice verse 4. He gives you a little bump. He gives you a little understanding of how this thing works. He said, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and my spirit is with you, say my spirit, when I'm present by an operation of the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit coming under the influence of my spirit, I'm with you. And notice what else is there making this happen. It's the same stuff that's up in the lampstand. Notice what he said. He said, and my spirit with the power, what? The dunamis power of the Lord Jesus, I'm there. What? How does the lampstand work? It's the word of the Lord. It's the seven eyes of the Lord. And it's the oil from the olive trees. You have to have ears to hear this stuff. This is an operation that's about to be released completely to the church at large. And that I'm about to prove to you right now. Amen. I want to read you something from John G. Lake's book. How many of you know John G. Lake? A very powerful, powerful missionary, apostle, a very wealthy businessman in the 1920s. Gave away all his business, sold everything, and he went to Africa, and he birthed 1,400 churches over there. Incredibly powerful man, just walked by faith, amazing. He had this particular operation with him. I'm going to read a few things about him and what he said about it in his book. He says, as the years of my boyhood passed, because I became conscious of a certain operation of my spirit, which I shall endeavor to describe. This excursion, what happened was the Holy Spirit would lift his spirit up out of his body. The same stuff I'm talking about. See, you talk about this kind of stuff, the world will call that astral projection. The world doesn't do anything new. They're counterfeiting, but they're exposing someone's spirit to the second heaven darkness. When you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, under the spirit of truth, not under familiar spirit, he will never expose you to anything like that. You might see things, but you're under his influence. There by assignment, receiving downloads of what he wants you to see, understand, know, and hear. People get a little crazy about this, but I'm telling you, it's a very valid operation that we, the people, need. Not just leaders up in here. We all need this. You need it in the marketplace. You need it in your business. You need it in the ministry. You need it in your home and your family. You need to know what's going on before it happens. This is the kind of light God wants us to have. A light reveals your future. The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I can see up in front of me. I don't have to just stumble and wonder and wish and wait. How come when? I can have a light. It'll tell me when. It'll tell me how. It'll show me what the enemy's doing. It'll show me. You never surprise Elisha or Elijah. They always knew. You never surprised the Lord. He always knew. Finishing all their sentences before they could even finish their sentence. They saw. They lived in a light under the influence of the seven spirits of God. And they had continual counsel of everything. And continual foreknowledge. And continual understanding. And continual light. And continual authority. And continual power. On every situation, by the time they woke up, they could see it. I mean, Elijah hadn't even woke up and he already knew his armies had surrounded the place. He wasn't even moved about it. He said, this excursion, this projection, notice what he called it, of spirit consciousness. Projection of spirit consciousness. Or whatever it may be termed. He's trying to describe this operation he's under. Occurred during hours of communion with God in prayer. While meditating and praying while on the sea, notice it's on my way to Africa. He's not on his way to Africa. He's in prayer in America. The Holy Spirit is subjecting his spirit to the seven spirits of God and the influence of the seven spirits of God. And he's going into Africa. Before he went to Africa, he went to Africa many times in the spirit. Notice what he said about it. He goes, I would become suddenly conscious of the political conditions of South Africa. I would feel the struggles of various political elements in their contest for supremacy. Then again, I would realize the condition of the country financially and all aspects of the nations were being simultaneously downloaded to me. He could know the understanding political. He understood the struggles of the political arena. He understood what was going on financially. He understood what was going on in the spirit with the different churches there. Holy Spirit gave him all this before he went on the mission field. So when he stepped into the mission field, in 5 years he could birth 1,400 churches because he already had the download. He didn't have to go learn anything. He already learned it. God gave it to him before he went into battle. How'd you like to have all the foreknowledge before you go into the battle? Normally, we step into the battle by faith and we learn as we go. We can't afford to learn the rest of our life by experientially. We must learn by much higher operation of God. And God's going to set this upon us for the last days. Booyah! Holy Spirit, when he takes you on excursion, while in the spirit, he's downloading to him. He says, I comprehended not only present fact. You probably won't hear this in your seeker-friendly church. I comprehended not only present fact, but my consciousness would project itself into the future so that I saw the train of national events that were yet to take place. I also saw the west coast of Africa when it had become a great commercial seaport and lines of railways. He saw it before it was ever developed. Now, do you know this man was a businessman? He was worth upwards, I think, of $50 million in the 1920s. Say $50 million. He was an extreme businessman. He walked away from, because of his doctrine and belief, he didn't believe that he could mix the two. He didn't believe there could be a kingly element and a priestly element operating in the same boat. You either had to be one or the other. And because of that, he did not take advantage of what God showed him. Because had he taken advantage of it, anybody worth $50 million in the 1920s had a lot of friends. He could have easily, when he foresaw all this, by the way, I believe his wife and many of his missionaries died on the mission field of starvation. But they had such power on them. But they had no finances because he didn't believe you could mix the two. And because of that, did you know if he would have taken advantage of the foreknowledge, he could have got some of his investment partners he walked away with and said, now look, all of this in the next 5 years is going to be a commercial seaport. Buy all that land. Right there and sit on it. Saw it all before it happened. All you had to do. Now, I'm going to be over here ministering and building churches. You buy the land, and when the seaports come and they want to buy all the land for 1,000 times what you just paid for it, then you're going to bring some of that into my ministry. And we're not going to die of starvation. You see how that works? But he didn't think you could take advantage. Elisha filled the oil of the widow and told her, go sell that. That was a supernatural. You go sell it and pay all your debt off. Elisha understood the king priest element of the operation he was under Naaman, and he said, no, we're not taking your money because I'm demonstrating right now. There's a time for money and there's a time for ministry. Let's give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. All right, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, he just talked to him about all the churches, and he said, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Say, in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, very, very, very important, come up hither. And I will show you things which must come hereafter. So everything he's about to show him is a hereafter. Another time, another generation, another operation. Now, before we go any further, at this stage, John is on the Isle of Patmos receiving this operation, receiving this entire encounter. He's already of age. Holy Spirit had already been poured out on the church. It's very important you understand. Holy Spirit is already on the church at this point. He's already in the earth right now. He's already here. But he's telling you something's going to happen hereafter. In another generation, John, I've got a plan. Say, I got a plan. I got something cooked up for another generation, John, and I'm going to show it to you. There is a very special generation coming. The bridal company is going to arise. And I've got something for this bride. Especially the one that's got some oil in her lamp. That understands who I am. That can hear the voice of the bridegroom. I got another operation coming. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. All this is happening at the throne. Now, verse 5. Out of the throne, notice where this is right now. This candlestick of Zechariah chapter 4, the seven spirits of God and the seven eyes of the Lord. Notice where it is right now. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire. Say, seven lamps of fire. Burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. The word seven lamps. You know what the word lamps? Some of your Bibles will even interpret it. Torches. There are seven torches of fire burning at the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. In the next chapter, he's going to directly relate the seven spirits of God to the seven eyes of the Lord. These torches, these seven torches are burning at the throne right now. And the Lamb's walking in the midst of it. And it's burning at the throne right now. It's a torch burning at the throne. The Lamb's walking in the midst of this throne. He's dwelling in the midst of it. In Revelation chapter 1, he said he's sitting in the midst of the sevenfold candlestick with the seven churches. The candlestick is not one thing. It's a multiple operation. It's the seventh day of rest. It's the seven eyes of the Lord. It's the seven spirits of God. It's the seven churches of the ecclesia, the called out ones. It's 7 years. You know, God gives his foreknowledge, by the way. He dispenses it in 7-year operations. Elisha, there'll be 7 years of famine. Joseph, there'll be 7 years of goodness, 7 years of leanness. Daniel, there'll be 70 weeks of 7 years. John, 7 years of the book of Revelation. God dispenses and he allows men to look up into generations in 7-year time frames. Seven lamps, seven torches. And I like what the Greek said about this. Look at a flame that is fed with oil. Now we're going to go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, Revelation 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Where's the seven torches? In the throne. And he's looking right at the right hand of God. Did I tell you that God's going to download the right hand of God into the earth before all this is over? Now notice where this lampstand is. Look at verse 6. Such a powerful verse. And I beheld, all this is happening at the right hand of God, is happening at the throne of God. It's burning at the throne. Notice what he says here. He says, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and the four beasts in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. See that? Say, seven horns, seven eyes. That was the Holy Spirit's. Operate the horn represented his kingly authority. The seven eyes represented his priestly prophetic authority. He had both of those operations in the Holy Spirit that was sitting there at the throne. Now notice this. Verse chapter 5 did change nothing from chapter 4. What do we say in chapter 4, 1? I was caught up in the Spirit. And come up hither and I will show you things to come. Say, I will show you things to come. Now he's looking at this. He's looking at the seven spirits of God, which is the candlestick, which is the seven eyes of the Lord. Notice what he says. Having lamb slain, verse 6, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Did you get it? He just decreed he was going to send that lampstand he's looking at the throne of God in the right hand of God. He just decreed, I'm going to send that into the earth. I'm sending what you're looking at. But the Holy Ghost already been sent. So why is he going to send him again? Holy Spirit already sent. He said, I'm going to send what you're looking at into all the earth. The same thing he prophetically prophesied in Zechariah chapter 4. I am going to send these seven eyes that go to and fro all the earth. I'm going to send the seven horns.
I'm going to send a king priest government. I'm going to send a lampstand with seven torches. I'm going to send this into all the earth, and that generation's going to receive it. Somebody say amen. But what he was looking at, that entire operation, he just said, I'm going to send this into all the earth. John beheld our day. And he beheld a very special mantle that the Lord is going to release in a fullness of it into our generation. Having seven horns and seven eyes. Full kingly authority. Full priestly authority. I'm going to send it in all the nation. Go to Isaiah 51. He's planting it right now. Corporately. Because this lampstand is a corporate movement. And it has the omniscience, the omnipresence, and the omnipotence of God dwelling in it right now. With seven torches burning. All that's going on at the throne, but that's going to get downloaded here. It's coming down. Say, it's coming down. It's coming down. It's coming now. It's coming down, and it's coming now. We are the generation. On in the chapter 5, he said, you shall be kings and priests unto me, and you will reign in the earth. He's embedded it into the lampstand. A corporate movement for the last days. A lampstand for the grossest darkness ever to present itself in the earth. God, why the greatest light? And he will testify to the world. He'll testify to mammon. He'll testify to the marketplace. He's going to light his people up with seven torches. Say, light me up. Listen to this scripture. Listen to this. Isaiah 51 verse 16. Lord, when first revealing this lampstand, I just getting an introduction to the seven spirits of God. Didn't even halfway understand it. But it was a revelation nonetheless. And there was a time I was going to South Korea. And the Lord said, I want you to plant this right here. I'm like, plant. I said, I don't barely understand. He goes, just plant it by faith and watch what I do. And I was sitting in the middle of that service. And I was just in the middle of teaching. He said, now stop teaching right now and plant it. And I said, the Lord's going to plant the heavens today. He's going to plant a lampstand. And as soon as I said that, pow, 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 pow. Everyone, I've never seen the intercessors just bite the dust. Man, it was a meeting. That pastor asked me, he goes, what was that? I said, I don't know. Just yet. But it's something for the last day. Now notice this, Isaiah 51 verse 16. I have put my words in your mouth. I've covered thee in the shadow of mine hand that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth. God is going to take heavenly things that are burning right now. At the right hand of God, he's going to take that torch, that seven torches, and he's going to plant that into all the nations of the earth. He's going to plant the heavens. We need God to plant the heavens. I don't think we need any more man. How many of you are done with that? I mean, you've been around long enough, you've already seen it before it happens. You're omnipresent and you don't even know it. Been there, done that, got plenty of those t-shirts. God's going to plant that. I believe he wants to plant this word, this lampstand up in us. You may not have to understand it. You don't understand your salvation, but he planted it up inside of you as soon as you said, I do. He planted a new nature right up inside you. You didn't understand it, but he can plant stuff before your understanding catches up to it. He can plant heavenly things, and it might take you a while to catch up with what he plants. You get the Holy Ghost and you could get healed and you could get born again all in one day. And it might take you 2 years to process all that just happened. But he planted it nonetheless. Because all you have to do is say, I do. Say, yes, Lord. I don't even know what that crazy guy's talking about. But it sounds good to me. The understanding will catch up. He wants to plant. He wants to plant the heavens. He wants to plant that today. And anybody in here says, I do.